those attorney's fees.
All right, you may proceed.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Michael E. Thorson, and I represent the appellant, Dmitri Magaloff. There were three errors that the trial court made. The first error was instruction number 13. Instruction number 13, which goes back to an order of May 1, 2014 from a separate trial judge. It's on page 92 and 93 of the appendix. Based on a motion for partial summary judgment by the plaintiff for a summary judgment as to counts 1 and 2. Counts 1 and 2 was assault and battery. The trial court denied the partial motion for summary judgment at the April 11, 2014 hearing. However, basically hamstrung the defendant in stating that the defendant at trial could not deny that he assaulted and battered the plaintiff. The plaintiff has alleged in this case that it was a violent sexual attack. We have denied that that event occurred. So going back to the May 1, 2014 order, that was put in place. There were objections made to that particular order. The ruling of the trial judge in regard to that order on May 1, 2014 was based on judicial estoppel. There was no mutuality. The trial judge indicated that, in essence, the Commonwealth and the victim were the same. That's not what the Supreme Court has stated in the Bentley case. The Bentley case states that there has to be mutuality. There was not mutuality between the criminal matter that Mr. Magaloff was charged and the civil case. That's backed up in the Ayala case, which I cited in my brief, which stated that mutuality is not between the victim and the Commonwealth. Those are two separate entities. So judicial estoppel, based on the May 1, 2014 order, page 92 and 93, was incorrect. That was an improper finding for the basis of that order. There were objections noted. Fast forward to the trial. On page 435, I'm sorry, strike that. On page 539, we start talking about the attack and how it's described. And Mr. Magaloff is testifying on page 539. And he tries to describe that that did not happen. And on this page, he says that, do you deny the attack? Yes, I deny it. Did you throw Ms. Sales down the steps? He says, no, there's an objection. We then approach. And again, on page 539, which dovetails into the second assignment of error, the court restricts how Mr. Magaloff is allowed to testify and deny an attack. And in fact, the trial judge states that you cannot have an assault and battery without an attack. Well, that is the crux of this case. The plaintiff says it's a violent attack. We deny it. Under 8.01.418, the plea agreement in the criminal case that Mr. Magaloff was charged in can simply come in under 8.01.418 through the records of the plea agreement. It doesn't make it a judicial admission where then it's a summary judgment in essence. So instruction number 13...
Well, technically, it does make it a judicial admission for evidentiary purposes.
Correct.
But it's not a conclusive admission under collateral or judicial estoppel purposes.
Correct, Your Honor. Absolutely correct. And in regard to instruction number 13, which again was objected through during the deliberations of the jury instructions, it is akin to a summary judgment where my client cannot deny that he assaulted and battered. And that was the court's own jury instruction. It wasn't proffered by the plaintiff.
Your position is that the conviction could not come in under any set of circumstances. The plea could come in, but there could not be a preclusion of his testimony that the attack did not take place.
Correct.
Because of mutuality.
Correct.
That's the sum and substance of your entire argument on that point.
Correct, Your Honor. That plea agreement comes in under 8.01418. It was redacted because he was charged with something else other than what he pled to. That comes in. That's not conclusive, as Justice Kelsey stated. We get to put on our evidence to describe how he contends this event took place. Correct.
That seems to be the holding of both Bentley and Ayala. Is there any other basis for your request to reverse this?
Yes, Your Honor. Dovetail is the second assignment of error where we can't describe. That dovetails into instruction number 13. Assignment of error number 3, Your Honor, is in regard to the expert witness designation. And that's on page 435 where we discuss my objection to the testimony of the one expert the plaintiff called, Dr. Littman, as to future care and treatment.
But what if we reversed and remanded for retrial because of instruction 13 being incorrect? Couldn't they simply update their interrogatories and moot your assignment error number 3?
They could, Your Honor. Yes, in terms of assignment error number 3. My position as to assignment error number 3 is that they didn't attribute supplementation to Dr. Littman.
Yeah, the child just shifted the burden of going forward to you as opposed to the defendant.
It did, and I took his deposition, and he mentioned nothing about future care and treatment. And what's important about appendix page 435, and this is the crux of the assignment of error number 3, Justice Kelsey, is that healthcare providers, they say on page 435, healthcare providers will testify as to future care and treatment. Dr. Littman was not a healthcare provider. He was a retained expert who didn't even see or talk to the plaintiff until after his designation was filed. I then deposed him on March 26, 2014. Nothing about future care and treatment. There were no opinions disclosed that Dr. Littman would testify specifically as to future care and treatment. It was all, the supplementation was all directly related to health care providers, nothing about Dr. Littman. So that was the surprise at trial, that Dr. Littman is now going to come into trial and testify as to the future care and treatment, the future cervical spine surgery, possibly additional knee surgeries as a result of this incident. And that was the prejudicial effect. Plaintiff's counsel even admitted on page 435 of the appendix that and agreed with the court. I did not disclose those opinions as to future care and treatment in my designation of Dr. Littman, and there was nothing in his deposition about future care or treatment. Plaintiff's counsel admitted that on page 435.
So your position is that, I think you'd agree that if we agreed with you on the instruction, we don't need to address what you've just been talking about. But if we disagree with you on the instruction, we do.
Correct, Chief Justice Lemons. Yes, sir.
All
and
right.
I'm asking for a full reversal as to the entire verdict and to remand it to the trial court for a trial, further proceedings as to liability and damages. That's what we're requesting.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Call the next case.